Yeah, when we say Peiris Hutzar, it's literally produce from outside the land of Israel, which comes into the land of Israel is Chayav Chalo. We're talking about Sefer Mefarshim, however, not just you have a loaf of bread which you bring in from Chutz La'aretz and suddenly becomes Chayav Chalo, but rather grain grew outside Eretz Israel, but it was kneaded into a dough in Eretz Israel. And it's to the point when it's kneaded that the Chiyuv comes along. Yotzo Mikan Lashom. If it's the other way around, the grain was exported from Eretz Israel, and with Eretz Israel dik grain, people make a dough in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Lezer Mechayev, Rabbi Kiva Poita. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu ba'och lachem milechem ha'aretz, tarima trumah Lashem." When you eat literally the bread of the land, you are chayev to take challah. So the question is, what's called bread of the land? There is an argument that it's bread of the land if you make it into a dough in Eretz Israel, even if the actual produce is not from Chutzla, is from Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says it's not lechem ha'aretz if the original grain comes from Chutz La'aretz. Base. Similarly, the Indian a little bit, produce which grew in Eretz Israel in soil which has been imported from outside Eretz Israel. So they bring in soil. We're not talking about legabe challah, because we're just saying that if you need a dough in Eretz Israel, nothing to do with the produce, nothing to do with the land, even if the produce came from outside Eretz Israel. But if it was kneaded into dough in Eretz Israel, it's chayav challah. So we're talking about legabe trumos and maseris and shvius. Afa chutz la'aretz shebo b'sfina la'aretz. So soil which comes from outside Eretz Israel and is brought on a boat into Eretz Israel, and it's now floating on one of the rivers in Eretz Israel. So this earth is in Eretz Israel, it hasn't yet become part of the ground as such. Sounds like if it's part of the ground, it would certainly be considered Afa Eretz Israel. But it's on a boat on a river in Eretz Israel. Chayev v'maseris v'shvius. Anything which grows on it is considered produce of Eretz Israel, because it's considered to have drawn its nourishment through the boat, through the water, from the land of Eretz Israel itself. I will say the hull of the boat should be a barrier between the earth in the ship and the riverbed. So the Mephoroshim say, the Rav brings it here, that we're talking about a ship which has got holes in its hull. Why doesn't it sink? Because the clods of earth block the holes. But nevertheless, it's considered the earth is in contact with the water, which is in contact with the land, and it's considered to draw its nourishment from the land, and therefore it's chayev b'maseris u'b'shvius. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Emosai v'zmein shasfina gusheshes. Rabbi Yehuda adds to this, according to him, we would only say this if the boat is actually in physical contact with the riverbed. If there's a water in between, then we don't say it. A dough which was kneaded not with water but with fruit juice. This is a bit similar, maybe even related, to the famous discussion on Mazonis bread. Is it chayev b'chala or is it not? Chayev es b'chala. So the Mishnah says, even though you've used fruit juice, which for many halachas is not considered to be a mashke at all, it's not one of the seven liquids which we've talked about. In other words, we're talking about fruit other than wine and other than olive oil. Other kind of fruit juice is not one of the seven liquids. It's not considered to be a typical liquid for other halachas. Nevertheless, it is considered to make a dough and yochayev b'chala. On the other hand, v'necheles b'yayim m'sovava, it may be eaten with unclean hands, because we've mentioned many times that products cannot become tomei unless, or produce, food produce cannot become tomei unless it was mukhsher lekabel tumah. It became possible to be mekabel tumah because it was wetted by a contact with water or one of the seven liquids. Fruit juice does not cause susceptibility to tumah, so therefore it can't become tomei when it's touched by unwashed hands or tomei hands, and therefore it's necheles beyadayim, so obviously it can be eaten with unclean hands. Just as a footnote, interesting halacha to look into, it would seem, the Farshim seem to say here, that therefore he doesn't need netilas yadayim. Even though Chazal made a gezeira on netilas yadayim on all bread, because of srach truma, because the original decree was on truma, you shouldn't make truma, tome, when you touch it with unwashed hands. And that was a gezeira which Chazal made because they didn't want you to make the truma inedible in such a fashion that it wouldn't eat it and become wasted. And then it was extended to ordinary bread. But if here we're saying that something which is made with fruit juice is not considered to be ordinary bread and it's not makabel truma, so the whole gezeira should also not apply. This is what he seems to bring here, b'shem l'tos. The tos is ang she'shem. Which means that when we say that if you eat a shi'ur suda of mazonis bread, you have to wash in tzitzit yadayim, it would sound possibly like that there's no chiyuv in tzitzit yadayim. Could be a chiyuv of bracha of hamutzi and benching afterwards, but it would sound like from this that there's no chiyuv in tzitzit yadayim if the dough has been made entirely with fruit juice. Truth is, it wouldn't apply to most of our mazonis bread commonly available on the market because that is made with a combination of water and fruit juice. Anyway, that requires further investigation. 3. Ha'isha yosheves v'kutza chalosa aruma mibmei shehi yachoda l'chaseis atzmo. This is a most extraordinary Mishnah to say that a woman who is naked is still allowed to sit and set aside chala and make a bracha. Because in order to make a bracha, one cannot have one's nakedness, one's erva, exposed. But if a woman sits on the ground with her thighs pressed together, her nakedness is covered by the ground, is not visible. And she is still able to make a bracha. As opposed to a man of aloha ish, because an unclothed man cannot fully conceal his genitalia, even if he is to sit on the ground and have his thighs pressed together. A person who cannot make his dough in a state of taro, because, for example, he's tomei and he doesn't have access to a mikveh, so he can't be metai. So the problem is you're not allowed to be metamei chala. So how can you separate chala from the dough? As soon as he prepares the dough to make it into a dough, he pours water into the flour, he makes it susceptible to tumah, and if he's tomei, he's going to make it tomei. What he should do, says the Tanakhama, is yasena kabin. He should make it in small kav portions. A kav is a measure of volume equal to 4 revoim. And we've mentioned, I think, already previously in the first peruk, that the minimum shear for challah is 5 revoim. So if he divides what he's got into smaller doughs, so they are potter from the chi of challah altogether, then he avoids the whole problem. There's no chi of challah. Rabbi Kiva omer yasena b'tumah v'al yasena kavin. Rabbi Kiva does not agree with this idea of deliberately making small doughs and avoiding the mitzvah of challah. Rather, he says, it's better to make it a large dough, and unfortunately it will become tomei, nothing can be done. And you'll separate truma. Better to perform the mitzvah of taking chala, not truma, chala, even though it's chala tomeya, than not to do it at all. Shekashem shu kore la tahira kachuk kore la tomeya, because just as one has a chiyuv to designate chala for a toha dough, so one designates chala for a tomei dough. Lezekere chala b'shem, or lezekere chala b'shem. For this one he gives the shem chala, and for that one he gives the shem chala. But if you divide it into a smaller portion, then it has no share in the designation of challah. So in Rabbi Kiva's opinion, it's more important that one should separate a sanctified portion from the dough than to prevent the destruction of challah by circumventing the challah obligation in the first place. Most authorities rule in accordance with the Tanakh. 4. Hoy se isosei kabin the noguze bezeh baturim in a chala. If you did have small doughs, and therefore there was no chiyuv chala, and then they touch one another, is that considered to be one single entity now and they're chayv b'chala? No, peturim min chala. They're still potur min chala, ag sheyosh yeshochu, unless they literally bite one another. That means the doughs stick together so firmly that if one dough, if you tried to pull them apart, some dough would remain from one onto t'other. Rabbi Eleza Oime, Afa Rodev and Isim Masal, Hasal Mitzdorfon. He disagrees with the Tanakama, who says that even if they're touching, they're not Chayiv Bechala, provided they haven't stuck together. And he says, no, even if they're not touching, they can still be Chayiv Bechala if you put them together in one basket. If you take loaves of bread, and interesting, he's talking about after they're baked, haroida. Haroida means you take them down from the oven, from the, they used to bake them by sticking them on the side of the oven, like the pita bread, which we still see in some of our restaurants. It's made on the side of the oven. Haroida venos in the sal, and then he takes them off there and he puts them together in a basket, even though they were smaller than the shear originally. Hasal metzdarfon lachalo. The basket combines them and makes them into a chiyuv, a single entity, and a chiyuv chala is created. 5. Hamafrish chaloso kemach eino chalo. If you separated chala from the flour before it was made into a dough, it doesn't have the status of chala. The gozel biyad kohen. And what's more, the kohen's got to give it back. You gave this already to the kohen can't say, sorry, it's mine now, jump, you can't have it back. That would be considered gezel, because he only gave it to him in error. He wanted to be mekayim the chiyuv. And since you're not mekayim any chiyuv like that, the kohen has to return it. Ha'isa atzmo chayeves b'chala. And another consequence would be that even though you gave flour already, as it were, from this sack to fulfill your obligation of chala, you have not fulfilled the obligation, and therefore if you were to knead a dough with the remaining flour, chayeves b'chala, you'd still be chayev b'chala on that. Va'kemach im yeshbo kashir chayev b'chala. And if the flour which you separated is then made into a dough, if it's the shear, of course, if you spoke a shear, then it's the, you've got to take challah again, even though you might think you'd given the whole thing as challah. He gave it to a kohen, the kohen kept it, the kohen gave it back, whatever it is, and then he makes it into a dough, he's still got to take challah from it. Va'asur lazarim, divrei Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua adds a very interesting clause that midrabbanon, once the challah flour was given to a kohen, even though we said it's not challah and you'll do it all over again, the kohen's got to give it back, etc., etc., but still it becomes asur as though it's got a din challah. It's forbidden for non-kohenim. Because, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the chomim were concerned that once something is given to a kohen, it should be seen as having sanctity, and it shouldn't, as it were, go back on that. Omru lo, but the chachamim disagree, and they said to Rabbi Yeshua, "Maisa, not only are you wrong that this challah has no halacha, this flour which you gave to the kohen has no halacha of challah whatsoever, but maisa ukafasha zokein zora. There was, in fact, an incident when somebody did this. He gave flour as challah to a kohen." And a zokein, that means a Talmid Chacham, a Torah scholar, he took the flour, and he snatched the flour back, he grabbed it, and he ate it. And this zokein means a Zekish HaKonah Chacham, a Talmid Chacham, can be relied upon, and it's a Maisa Rav, which proves that he wanted to demonstrate the fact that it's not challah at all, it's nothing, it can be eaten by anybody. Omar Lahem, Afu Kilka Lasme V'tikon Lacherim. Yeshua responded that he doesn't accept what the Chachamim say, and this story doesn't prove anything. In fact, he says, this Zokain did wrongly, and therefore, Kilkain La'atzmo, he ruined matters for himself, because he will be punished for his transgression. Fatikin La'cherim, but he did improve things slightly for others, because if other people were to carry on doing this, like you say, taking back the flour which has been given to Kohanim and claiming it's not challah and it can be eaten by anybody, at least they've got somebody to blame their mistake on. They'll say, so he said, Talmid Chacham did it, so it must be all right. But he's wrong. He's wrong. It's not challah at all. 6. Chameshes Revoim Kemach Chayovim Bachala. What is the Shia? The Shia is five Revoim of Chala. Five Revoim of flour. Al Chayev Bachala. What is five Revoim? Well, one Roiva, which is the same as one Loig, is six Bayim. So six Bayim is six ordinary eggs. And we're saying five of them are Chayev Bachala. So that would be 30 eggs worth. We say nowadays, there's a big shaila on how you measure these shiurim, we mentioned already once before, that 2 pounds 10 ounces, that's about 1.2 kilos, is already chayv b'chala without a brocha, but almost double that, 2.25 kilos, we would make with a brocha. That's the amount of flour in the dough. Heim o sa'iron v'subon o mursunon chameshes revoyin chayovim. Even if, when we say the dough, that includes the sourdough, that's sort of the yeast which they put in there, the bran which is in there, and even the coarse bran altogether, it is five revoim. That already is the shear, because all these things, even the coarse bran, which is not commonly eaten, but it can be eaten and it is eaten by poor people, so it all constitutes together the flour. Nutal mursanon metuchon v'chazal asuchon. If, however, the flour was sifted and the bran was removed from the flour, and then it was put back in v'chazal asuchon, or it fell back in, then that cannot be included in the shear, because even though the paupers will have a very basic, a very rough form of dough, which they presume of flour, which they would no doubt be considered very healthy, with all the bran and all the rubbish in there. That is when it's in there initially, but not to add it back in when it's already been taken out. 7. Shira chala echod mi esrim va'arba. How much chala do you separate from the dough? The measure of chala is 1/24 of a chala. As we'll see, we're talking about private individuals who bake bread for their own use, not people who bake bread for sale. Ha'isa asma, we're talking about ha'isa isa l'asma, one who makes dough for himself, ha'isa l'mishle v'note, or even he makes a huge amount for a simcha, for a chasana, but he's not making it for sale. Echad me'esrim ba'arba. The shear remains 1/24. But if he's a baker who's making bread to sell in the market, or even a private woman who's not a professional baker but she's making bread to sell in the market, then Chazal will make for a much smaller share. Only 1/24 has to be taken. If the housewife who has to take 1/24, the slightly larger share, and the dough accidentally or mistakenly became tomei, then Chazal were mekel, since the challah will have to be burnt in any case. The Chachomim allowed one to separate the smaller of the two percentages. In addition, the rabbis wanted to minimize as much as possible the amount of challah tomei in existence. So they said, then it can be the smallest year. Nit meis meizido, but if it was made tomei deliberately, intentionally, echon meesem v'arbo, then it stays at the shear of 1/24. Kadesh eloy niskar, in order that the transgressor should not profit from her transgression. She doesn't care whether her bread is tomei, or maybe she didn't even touch the bread. Maybe it's only the dough, the challah, which became tomei. But she doesn't care whether it's tomei or not. So she would benefit by making it tomei by only having to give away or destroy a smaller shear. She can't benefit in that way. The shear will remain the same at 1/24. And finally, 8. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Netelis Menatar ala tomei. Now, we've actually stated in the Mishnah in the previous Peirik that you can't separate truma from tahar produce for tomei produce, or challah from Taha produce to Tomei, from a Taha dough to a Tomei dough, midrabbonon, and the Rabbonon make this gezeira as a concern that since we've learnt you have to separate min hamukuf, it has to be either literally joined together, touching one another, or at least in a basket together. It's got to be unified together. That the the dough which you're taking challah from, together with all the other doughs which are to be exempted by means of this ceremony. And we were frightened that people won't want to put their tomei and their tohar doughs together, and therefore they won't be mekayim la'alocha of min ha'mukuf, and therefore Chachomim said, you cannot separate from tomei onto tohar. This Mishnah is a dissenting opinion to that. Rabbi Elazar imem mitelis min ha'torah la'tomei. You can separate from a tohar dough on behalf of a tomei dough. Ketzad, how can you do that? How should you do it? And you've got to, he agrees, you've got to avoid making the challah portion tomei. So how should you do it? Isa tohar of isa tomei, you've got a tohar dough and a tomei dough. Do it like this. Notel kadei challah mi isa shlohur ma chalasa. Take an amount sufficient for challah from another dough, which has got a chi of challah, and the challah has not yet been taken. And take a piece of dough from there, which will be large enough to be yotza, the chi of challah, on both the tohar and the tomei dough. So take some challah from a dough which is not yet had challah taken. And place another piece of dough, of tohar dough, between the tomei and the tohar dough. So it forms a little bridge between the tomei and the tohar. And you make a little bridge of challah going across, joining the two together. And the bridge itself is less than a kebetza of dough. So even though the bridge will become tomei itself, because it's touching the tomei dough, but since it's less than a sheer kebetza, it cannot be mitamei. It becomes tomei itself, but it cannot render another item tomei. So no kebetza, and now it's all joined together, it's all touching one another. And now you're yotze the din of mukuf, that they should all be joined. Chachomim oisrim. Chachomim say you shouldn't do this because they were still concerned that for fear that you're going to make the challah portion tomei, people will not put it together properly, and then they won't be mekayim the halacha of min ha'mukuf, and therefore rather you should separate challah from each of these doughs separately. Tohar for the tohar dough and a tomei piece for the tomei dough.
Tomorrow night I'm at a Sheva Rochus.